Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke!
Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Good afternoon and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the big guy this afternoon. He is off working on improving some of our signals here that you're listening to on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM out of Madison. I'm holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side. You're also listening to the program on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out in Waukesha, the eastern portion of Wisconsin with that 540 AM signal that's tuned up and ready to go, really. It's a great signal.
A grown human male needs about 2,000 calories a day.
I think Brian needs more than that, Evan. Come on, man.
What, Brian?
I'm joined by Evan on the board. Appreciate you, Evan, for filling in and helping me out with the production of today's show. And if you want to join me on the air, give me a phone call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. You can share your tangent with Evan and I. We'll be taking those calls all hour long. Got a number of Wisconsin headlines that I want to be able to dive into. And we'll get to those phone callers as they stack up. But leading off today, the story that I want to start with is a lawsuit that was filed earlier today by the Attorney General Josh Call. But before I dive into that lawsuit, I do want to give a reminder as well. Today is the final day to register to vote by mail or online in the state of Wisconsin ahead of the August 9th partisan primary. So if you are planning to vote in the partisan primary at the beginning of next month, today is the deadline to register to vote via mail or online. Wisconsin is a same-day registration state, so you can still register to vote online. You can still register to vote in person with your local clerk up to the day of the election on August 9th. But if you want to do so online or via mail, today is your deadline to do so. So as I teased, we got a story over at the Wisconsin State Journal about a lawsuit filed today by Attorney General Josh Call. The headline over at the State Journal, Wisconsin AG sues 18 companies over PFAS contamination. So giving an environmental update for what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin, what the Attorney General is doing to hold these polluters accountable. Todd Richmond is the author of this piece over the State Journal. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call filed a lawsuit Wednesday seeking to force nearly 20 companies that he alleges contaminated the environment with chemicals known as PFAS to reimburse the state for investigations and cleanup efforts. The lawsuit filed in Dane County Circuit Court names 18 companies as defendants, including 3M Company, Tyco Fire Products, LP, and BASF Corporation. The filings allege the defendants knew or should have known that their products would have a dangerous impact on the public's health and environment. The lawsuit seeks punitive damages as well as reimbursements for the cost of the investigation, cleanup, and remediation. Quote, to this day, the state continues to take necessary actions to protect its natural resources and its residents from harm caused by PFAS contamination, the lawsuit states. The state and its taxpayers will need to spend billions of dollars remediating the dangerous PFAS contamination caused by defendants' wrongful, deceptive, and tortious conduct. The state lawsuit echoes claims made by Dane County and other municipalities who have sought to hold manufacturers accountable for cleanup costs associated with the use of firefighting foam. ChemGuard and its parent company in June had the Dane County case moved to federal court, where it has been consolidated with hundreds of similar cases. So that is what's going on with PFAS contamination and holding those polluters accountable here in the state of Wisconsin. This morning, Josh Call filing a lawsuit on behalf of the state looking to hold 18 companies accountable for potentially knowingly or should have known that the chemicals that they put into the environment would have a hazardous impact. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can give me a call. Share your tangent. 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend Jack in Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind this afternoon? Oh, one moment, Jack. Let me just pull you up here.
I hear you.
There we go. We got you, Jack. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, you
Sorry, Jack. If you're talking, I have a feeling your phone connection up there in Merrimack is not as well as today. We're having a little bit hard time hearing you. Let me put you back on hold. We'll have Evan screen you and hopefully get you back on the air here with us shortly. But PFAS contamination. Knowingly, the Attorney General of Wisconsin is saying in this lawsuit filed in Dane County Court earlier today that these 18 companies knowingly or should have known the dangers of the chemicals that they had put into the environment here in Wisconsin. And they're looking to hold them accountable because the state plan will need to spend billions of dollars to be able to clean up the PFAS contamination. PFAS is a large subset of chemicals commonly known as forever chemicals because they do not break down in nature. They are chemicals that are working to, you find them in substances anywhere you see nonstick or water resistance in the materials. And so they're used in numerous products around all types of manufacturing, and they're everywhere in our water here in Wisconsin. It's going to cost billions of dollars. This lawsuit is alleging that it is going to cost billions of dollars to clean up the PFAS contamination in the state of Wisconsin. And it's looking to hold these 18 companies responsible for that contamination. Jack, Evan tells me we got you back here. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, I'm still having a little trouble hearing you. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you all right, Jack.
All right. As you pointed out, when you open that
register. But all right, Jack, unfortunately, I am having a hard time hearing that. All I heard was open and then a bunch of other things. So I'm going to have you call back, maybe try a different line. Otherwise, we'll see what Evan can do to fix the phone lines. 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. Evan will read the text on air if you are texting in. But you can share your tangent with me on the line, 844-967-2789. Evan's going to be working hard at that. But PFAS contamination, getting back to the story over at the Wisconsin State Journal, 3M communications manager Sean Lynch said in a statement the company acted responsibly and will, quote, vigorously defend its record of environmental stewardship. 3M communications, Robert Nelson, a spokesperson for BASF, one of the other companies named in the lawsuit, doesn't believe the lawsuit has merit. Media officials for Tyco didn't immediately respond to messages seeking comment. PFAS is an abbreviated and goes into talking about PFAS and forever chemicals. The State Department of Natural Resources Policy Board adopted limits on PFAS in drinking and surface water in February. The board refused to impose limits for groundwater, leaving the chemicals unregulated in wells. Roughly a million Wisconsinites, this is outside of the piece, but roughly a million Wisconsinites depend on groundwater for their source of drinking water in the state of Wisconsin. So nearly a million Wisconsinites that depend on groundwater as a source of drinking water do not have a standard practice for what level of PFAS contamination is acceptable in groundwater wells here in the state. And so the Natural Resources Policy Board and the DNR have really failed, in my opinion, the nearly 1 million Wisconsinites that depend on groundwater for their source of drinking water. And so we've got this story is an update. I have a feeling the Attorney General's lawsuit on behalf of the state of Wisconsin is probably going to go in a similar direction as the Dane County lawsuit. As this piece mentioned, the Dane County lawsuit was moved into federal court, into a class action-like lawsuit with hundreds of other municipalities around the country looking to hold manufacturers responsible for PFAS cleanup. So I have a feeling the state of Wisconsin will be, this lawsuit will be facing a similar fate as the Dane County lawsuit. But it's interesting to see that the Attorney General is taking action and looking to hold these manufacturers accountable. Because again, the largest business lobby in the state of Wisconsin looking to defend manufacturers and allow them to be able to have the ability to discharge PFAS contaminants into the environment with impunity. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is defending several different manufacturers, and I believe one of the base defendants there is a dry cleaning company, for the ability to be able to discharge PFAS chemicals without having to be forced to clean them up, and being held legally responsible for those cleanups, because WMC doesn't want its businesses to have to clean up those efforts. They don't want to have to spend the money to clean up the PFAS contamination. They believe the taxpayers of Wisconsin are the ones that should be taking care of that, because they don't want accountability on behalf of their members over at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They also happen to be coordinating. We found out through text messages that lobbyists over at WMC have coordinated with Frederick Prenn to continue on his seat, despite his term ending May 1st of last year, continue on the Natural Resources Board, preventing a majority of Evers' appointees from being able to take over and set environmental policies in the state of Wisconsin. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent with me, 844-967-2789. That number is open for talk and text. You're listening to Dueling Tangents on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, as well as the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. Devil Radio here in Madison. I'm holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Going to dive into a number of other Wisconsin headlines and taking your calls, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents will be back shortly. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but joined by Evan on the board and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. It's a slightly different song, but the same general topic that I wanted. So here we go. we're fixing some problems here. So, you know, we did it on the fly. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. I want to get to it. A quick story out in Washington, D.C. A little Wisconsin tie to it as well, though, before I get to your phone calls. But I see you stacking up. And this story was yesterday. The U.S. House of Representatives passed the Respect for Marriage Act. We got two leading Wisconsin Democrats on this proposal to get it passed through Congress. The Respect for Marriage Act effectively codifies same-sex marriage equality into federal law, and it repeals the Defense of Marriage Act from the 90s, which prevents same-sex couples from being able to receive similar benefits to other couples at the federal level. And so it is very important. After the Roe decision came out, with Justice Clarence Thomas's opinion snuck in there that's saying, hey, well, we have to go and revisit a bunch of these other cases, Obergefell being one of them, which was the Supreme Court case in 2015 that allowed same-sex marriage. That needs, it's being threatened now because Clarence Thomas is pretty much signaled saying, hey, this is where the conservative justices are going next on the U.S. Supreme Court. And so I want to give a quick cue. I believe the vote yesterday was 267 to 157 in the House of Representatives. A couple dozen Republican congressmen joined all of the Democrats voting in favor of this in the U.S. House to pass the Respect for Marriage Act. Surprisingly, I was surprised by this. U.S. Representative Brian Steil, one of those individuals that crossed the aisle and joined the Democrats, Republican Congressman Brian Steil of Wisconsin's 1st District, voted to codify same-sex marriage into federal law. The four other Republican congressmen in Wisconsin voted against it. It'll be interesting to see this proposal go before the U.S. Senate. But Madison's own Congressman Mark Pocan spoke on the floor of Congress yesterday in the passing of the Respect for Marriage Act. And Mark just does a terrific job. And so let's have the congressman sum up what the Respect for Marriage Act is and kind of throw a little shade at some of the people that weren't supporting it yesterday. Evan, can you play the clip for me?
Or current law on marriage in this country, which includes for the LGBT and interracial couples across the nation. My friend from Ohio said this bill is unnecessary. This bill is very necessary because the extremist PAC Supreme Court recently took away a half a century of law on Roe. And in that decision, Justice Clarence Thomas said they should revisit it on marriage equality. We have people in this House and in the Senate, like Senator Ted Cruz, who've said the exact same thing. Here's what I want. I want to make sure that my husband, Phil, can visit me in the hospital should I have to go back again, like when I had a triple bypass a few years ago. I want to make sure my husband has my earned benefits for retirement and Social Security. I want to make sure that my husband is taken care of just like your spouses are taken care of. If I was the entity on the other side of the aisle, I'd be more concerned when my own members accused it of having cocaine-fueled orgies than worrying about the morality of my marriage. I yield back.
The gentleman from New York, Reserve
Court, current law.
And so that was Congressman Mark Pocan, like I said, just outlining specifically why the Respect for Marriage Act is crucial right now. But then also, you know, anytime I hear a clip has the referencing of the cocaine orgies in D.C., I kind of got to give it a listen, especially wanted to play it out today because Congressman Mark Pocan excellently pointing it out there that should draw more attention and criticism.
Props to my boy Cawthorn.
Well, he's going to be gone.
But man, he was the harbinger. You know, he told us what was happening.
I don't want to be like a gossip or anything like that, but the fact that the Republican Party just like very swiftly and organized a just removal, a primary challenge and just removal of Madison Cawthorn from Congress for those statements that he made, to me just is like, okay, there might be a little truth to that story over there, and maybe we should look into it. I don't know. I don't know if that's cocaine use is definitely, I feel like a flag for an ethics investigation. Quite know exactly. I mean, I don't know what's going to lead with that story, but anytime I hear a reference, I get a little chuckle.
It's funny. And there's a reason why they won't do the swab tests in the bathroom like they did in Parliament across the pond there. They found what? They found cocaine residue in like
what?
12 of 18 bathrooms over in UK Parliament. Oh, yeah, man. They're partying.
See, I'm going to have to look a little bit more into that story because that was the first I'm hearing it. But Madison Cawthorn, and he's been really quiet since he lost that North Carolina primary, so I find it pretty fascinating. But like I said, we're going to get to your phone calls, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. Up next this afternoon, we got our friend Mark from the SAC calling in. Mark, what's going on in Prairie du Sac?
Well, not much. Madison Cawthorn certainly hasn't been quiet as far as trying to stick a knife in Joe Biden's back and his policies. But rolling back here to Wisconsin and the whole contaminants in our water, that Republicans apparently in WMC don't care that we've been, that being systematically poisoned. I mean, we never should have lead in our gasoline from what some of the stuff I've seen, it just actually damaged engines rather than protected engines. But look at the lead what damage that did to the environment. I mean, these are, like you said, forever chemicals. You can't get them out of the groundwater. That, and why should the taxpayers pay for this stuff? Because these guys knew that this stuff was dangerous. They know that this stuff is dangerous. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is being disingenuous, and they say, oh, there's no problem here, you know. That. Well, why should the taxpayers foot the bill for these companies? They should have to pay, you know, put, you know, if they had to pass it, they'll pass the cost on to the consumers, and so be it. I mean, but we have to do something about it and quit dumping more of this stuff into the environment, for starters.
I couldn't agree more, Mark. And we've got that lawsuit on behalf of the state of Wisconsin filed today in Dane County Court by Attorney General Josh Call. It's going to be very interesting to see where that goes. I have a feeling Wisconsin's going to be joining the class action lawsuits against the manufacturers for PFAS contamination. And we'll be keeping an eye on it here at Dueling Tangents. 844-967-2789. We're going to get some more callers when we get back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian on this fine Wednesday afternoon, but joined by Evan on the board and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. So we got a new lawsuit by Attorney General Josh Call on behalf of the state of Wisconsin looking to hold PFAS manufacturers responsible and legally liable for the cleanup efforts that is going to cost billions of dollars to clean up the PFAS out of the environment. Here in the state of Wisconsin. So that's going on. We've also got the Senator, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Representative Mark Pocan leading the way in Washington, D.C. on trying to codify same-sex marriage federally after Justice Clarence Thomas signaled last month that Obergefell, the 2015 decision allowing same-sex marriage, to be revisited by the very political, very conservative U.S. Supreme Court. And so those are a number of the headlines that we're getting into. But up next, I want to get to what's going on with Ron Johnson at the federal level. And we've got a little update about Rojo kind of flipping on a previous support that he had for a candidate to fill the position of U.S. District Attorney in the western part of Wisconsin, Western District of Wisconsin. And so this is, again, over at the Wisconsin State Journal. And I find it interesting, and I got a question for the audience once we get through it as well. But the headline over at the State Journal, Ron Johnson to oppose U.S. Attorney nominee, calling her a political partisan. Reading from the piece, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson will not support a Madison-based attorney's nomination to become a federal prosecutor in Wisconsin after initially recommending her because of the political partisanship she displayed in since-deleted tweets, Johnson said on Tuesday. So this is a story updated as of yesterday. In the tweets, attorney Sopan Shah, whom President Joe Biden nominated to become the U.S. Attorney for the U.S. District Court in the Western District of Wisconsin, refers to the January 6, 2021 Capitol insurrection as, quote, terrorism. Evan, is it hyper-political? Is it showing political partisanship to call domestic terrorists?
Only if you play that game. You know what I mean? We just got to be unapologetic and call this what it is. We really can't step up to the bat and take a swing at these retorts. Oh, you're being partisan. Nope. We're just telling it how it is.
If you ransack the U.S. Capitol, that's domestic terrorism.
Domestic terrorism.
If you're a U.S. citizen that ransacks the U.S. Capitol, that's domestic terrorism.
If you're dropping pipe bombs at the RNC.
Yeah, we still don't know who left the RNC and DNC pipe bombs. That is still unknown information. I don't know. We got to keep looking at Ginny Thomas's text messages, I think. But maybe we'll find something there. Calling domestic terrorism is not hyper-partisan. Like, I'm sorry, that's not political partisan. If you call the domestic terrorists tourists and try to downplay it, I think that's pretty partisan. But calling a spade is not political partisanship. It's just not to me. And so U.S. Senator Ron Johnson initially had recommended attorney Sopan Shah to be the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. But he's pulling his support. And this is interesting because it's July of 2022. The Biden administration has been in charge since January of last year, 2021. So we're going on 18 months here that the Biden administration should have had a U.S. attorney in every district, in my opinion. By 18 months into an administration, the appointments like a U.S. attorney should be made. Like, that should not be an appointment that is still waiting, especially when you've got complaints on the Republican side of a lot of issues saying, well, law and order, why is there so much criminal backlog? Why aren't more cases going through? It's all the... And then just complaining about the process, as CJ calls it. It's a Democrat world. And it just completely ignores, and it's just erasure of the fact that people like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson are just dragging their feet for appointments and confirming the process for U.S. attorneys like this case right here. And I find it fascinating because, I don't know, who could benefit from not having a U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin? Trying to think of one particular, I don't know, maybe congressional candidate that is, again, running, who was used campaign funds to go to D.C., to be on the grounds of the Capitol after Trump's speech at the Ellipse. Derek Van Orden.
Oh, yeah.
Congressional candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, Western Wisconsin. I would believe that this U.S. attorney would be the prosecutor for that area where Derek Van Orden is running in for Congress. I find it fascinating that we do not have a U.S. attorney for the area that would be leading the charge in an investigation like that. I'm not saying it's completely directly related, but if the thought crossed my mind, I can't imagine that the thought hasn't crossed the mind of Senator Johnson and the people in his orbit or the people in Derek Van Orden's orbit saying, hey, well, if we delay a U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, maybe that's a good thing for us. Maybe we can prevent prosecutors looking into illegal actions taken by, say, a campaign in 2020, traveling, using campaign funds to travel to Washington, D.C., and go to and participate in the insurrection at the Capitol. That apparently, according to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, if you call it terrorism, that's partisan politics. You can't do that. And that will prevent him from, it'll make him change course and reverse his support for a candidate to be the next U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. I just find that fascinating. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. No Brian this afternoon, but got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. You could be like our friend Jeannie in Eau Claire. Jeannie, what's on your mind today?
I just had a comment on Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, coming from the guy who tried to give the fraudulent electoral votes from not only Wisconsin, but from Michigan, I don't know where the heck he got those from, to Pence to overturn our election, our legal election. So I don't have much confidence in that guy, and the sooner we get him the heck out of there, I think the better off our state and our country's going to be. So hope people get out and vote and get that guy out of there, because we'll be a lot better off. And anyway, you guys have a great day, and thank you for all the work. You're doing great subjects today and news. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. And yeah, it's coming. That is a comment directly from Western Wisconsin. So we appreciate you, Jeannie. And that is another excellent point. That is a fascinating point. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson may not want a U.S. attorney in the Western District for Wisconsin because maybe that would include a prosecutor that would be looking into his role in the Capitol insurrection. My first thought was Derek Van Orden, but Senator Ron Johnson playing trying to prevent prosecution of his own action or people finding out more, because I think Rojo's office was blindsided by the fact that the U.S. House Select Committee on January 6th included that information, sharing that he had texted the staff for vice pre- his staff had texted the staff for vice president at the time, Mike Pence, trying to hand deliver those fraudulent electors.
And he still hasn't recovered.
He doesn't. He's reeling a little bit for that one.
He was on the ramp up. He was making appearances. He was getting snarky with journalists. He was having the time of his life. And then this thing hits. And I mean, the stammering, you know,
he doesn't have a good answer. He's running away, like
trying to open locked doors.
He went out of the opening locked doors was good too in the U.S. Capitol U.S. Senate's office building, trying to run into those doors. But then also him just fleeing out the back door of a campaign event, like that video, and he just gets in his car. It's not a minivan, but it's like, I think it was like a Toyota Venza or something like that. He jumps in and he's just driving away. It's just like press just trying to ask him some questions about his involvement. And when the U.S. House Select Committee released that information, Rojo didn't really have a good response. He still doesn't. He's jumped from talking point to talking. Well, not even. He's not even jumping from talking points.
He's been quiet.
He's just baffling. Anytime he's asked about it, oh, it was a non-story. It was my intern. It was his chief of staff's first day.
Why did you just leave me alone?
It was a Pennsylvania congressman, I swear. It was their fault, not mine. So definitely a variety of different responses from the senator after that news was released. But going back to the phone lines, we got our friend Wisco Paul calling in. Wisco, what's on your mind today? Wisco Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. No, I was going to thank you, Jeannie, by the way. That's what I was thinking. And because of Rojo, don't forget to go vote. I'm picking a candidate out that can beat that clown because he's just, I don't know, something's wrong in his head, is all I can say. So thanks, guys.
Absolutely, Wisco. Appreciate your call. You can be like Wisco Paul, 844-967-2789. It's definitely important, like I said, to lead off the show today. Today is the final day to register by mail or online here in the state of Wisconsin if you want to register ahead of the August 9th partisan primary. Wisconsin is a same-day voter registration state, so you can absolutely still register with your local clerk leading up to through early voting as well as voting in person on August 9th. But if you do want to register by mail or online, today is the deadline to do so. So voting in that partisan primary is going to be very crucial. I'm looking forward to seeing which candidate is going to make it out of the Democratic partisan primary for that nomination. I think last Sunday night's debate was a pretty good debate. I've got my choice narrowed down between two candidates. I haven't made up my mind yet, but there's definitely a lot of that of who can take down Ron Johnson, who can unseat the senator, and taking that into consideration with where they're going to vote and who they're going to vote for when it comes to that primary. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see, because Rojo flipping on this U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, but also it's going to be interesting. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed myself for not knowing that the Western District of Wisconsin did not have a confirmed U.S. attorney already, with 18 months into the Biden administration. It's just another tactic out of the GOP's playbook here in the state of Wisconsin and nationally, because we see it in play with Frederick Prehn just being allowed to be on the Natural Resources Board here in the state of Wisconsin more than a year beyond his term. And it's just the delay tactic to prevent any appointments by Democratic officials, either from the Evers administration or the Biden administration. It is in full force by the GOP playbook. And the August 9th election is going to be extremely important. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. No Brian this afternoon. If you want to join the show, we got one more segment coming up here quickly on the break before that final segment. 844-967-2789, taking your calls and text messages. But I got one more story that I want to give an update, and we're going to preview it now and then get into it in the final segment of the day. But Tim Michaels had a campaign event in southeastern Wisconsin talking about the Foxconn project. And you're never going to guess where the construction executive came down on the Foxconn. Kind of interesting to hear Tim Michaels' comments about it. But going to get into that as well as maybe, if we've got time for it, a Gableman update. But definitely not calling it the I word. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, 844-967-2789. Final segment of the day coming up. Plenty of time for your phone calls. This is Dueling Tangents. To Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian on this Wednesday afternoon. Got Evan on the board, got some Wisconsin headlines, and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And before I dive into the Tim Michaels story, actually, I want to just commemorate 1 year ago, the Giannis 50-point game, ordering the 50 nuggets the following morning, because the Milwaukee Bucks were the NBA champions 1 year ago today, winning Game 6 against the Phoenix Suns and bringing home the Larry O'Brien Trophy for the first time in 50 years to Milwaukee. Very exciting, commemorating that. I got my Milwaukee Bucks t-shirt on. It was a fantastic team. It was a fantastic playoff run. It is always going to... I will always be curious of what would have happened had Chris Middleton not got injured this year for their playoff run. I think it would have been a complete game changer. Maybe they could have defended the title and went back to back, but not the case. There's always next year, especially with our core three. I'm very excited for the upcoming season for the Milwaukee Bucks. But let's get back to a little bit of news and politics headlines. Over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Corinne Hess writing this one. Governor candidate Tim Michaels criticizes Foxconn deal after making millions on the project. Good work if you can find it, I guess. But now that he's running for governor, Tim Michaels is criticizing the Foxconn project that almost, I believe, 75... At one point in 2019, Michaels was in an interview that said almost 75% of the Michaels Corporation employees were working on the Foxconn project or something related to the Foxconn project. And so let's dive in over this piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Republican candidate for governor Tim Michaels says the deal Scott Walker struck to bring Foxconn to Wisconsin was a problem and is also criticizing the Evers administration's renegotiation of the Foxconn contract. Michaels' own company was named a subcontractor for the project in 2018, and it made millions of dollars building roads for the Foxconn project. The wealthy business executive has also gotten the endorsement of former President Donald Trump, who proclaimed Foxconn's Mount Pleasant complex would be, quote, the eighth wonder of the world. We have had a problem with the initial Foxconn negotiation, and then Tony Evers said he was going to renegotiate Foxconn, made a big complete mess of it, Michaels said in an interview after a campaign rally on Monday. In May of 2018, Walker visited Michaels Corporation in Brownsville to announce the company would be getting a, quote, significant amount of work in the first phase of the construction of the Foxconn project. Work included building the roadways and building pads at the 1,000-acre site in Mount Pleasant. A year later, Michaels told the Milwaukee Business Journal his company's contract was to build the north-south freeway of I-94 adjacent to the Foxconn property. About 75% of Michael's employees worked on the project, he said. 75% of Michael's employees, Michael's Corporation employees, worked on the Foxconn project. Yet he's criticizing it as a bad deal. It was bad negotiated in the first place by Walker. He's got to do that because the former lieutenant governor under Scott Walker, Rebecca Clayfish, is his opponent in the primary. So he's got to criticize it on behalf of that. He's running against the Clayfish team. But he also is criticizing Evers' renegotiation of it, which doesn't really say what about the renegotiation that he criticized. Like, he was just criticizing it generally with a lot of things. It's a lot of superlatives, and that's about it from the Michaels team. He's not criticizing specifics. He's not saying this aspect of the renegotiation was bad and I would have done this. He's just saying, oh, no. Walker was bad. Evers was bad. He's just criticizing. Because again, as Brian and I alluded to on yesterday's show, Tim Michaels is an empty suit. He wants you to be able to project whatever you want him to be as a candidate onto his empty suit. That is the Tim Michaels candidacy for governor. And meanwhile, even though he's criticizing it now that he's running for public office, he's criticizing the deal despite the fact that he made millions of dollars on that deal. So he wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. Because those contracts are cashed. He cashed in the money for the work Michaels Corporation did to build a site that Foxconn doesn't appear that it's ever going to come to. When you talk about Wisconsin taxpayers being on the hook for almost $1 billion out of that $4-5 billion deal, Tim Michaels is the direct, and corporations like his are the direct recipients of that $1 billion that Wisconsin taxpayers are going to be on the hook for, regardless of if Foxconn actually comes to southeastern Wisconsin. Tim Michaels has already been paid. Those roads have already been constructed. Those building pads for the 1,000-acre site are there. I don't see any of the 13,000 jobs promised by the Walker administration. The Evers administration is at least trying to make sure that Foxconn does not get any more tax benefits without producing the jobs that they had promised initially. It's scaled way back because Foxconn was not delivering at all. And now that Evers renegotiated, they're at least trying. There are signs of very, 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 very tiny movement on that project. But to criticize both the Evers administration and the Walker administration while simultaneously raking in millions of dollars for your construction business is a very, very interesting way to run a campaign for governor. Got one more caller we're going to try to squeeze in here before the end of the show. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got our friend Andy from Beaver Dam calling in. Andy, what's on your mind today?
Well, Luke and Evan, you guys are young, but in 2004, Tim Michaels, the aforementioned candidate for governor, ran against Russ Feingold and got his butt kicked. And I don't know what about that guy. It's his ego or whatever, but why don't you just run your company and not, you know, I mean, he flips 180 every time you turn around, and I just don't see where he is any kind of an improvement over what we have now. So and the big thing is, like, Gene and, like, Wisco Paul, vote, man, because going to take every progressive Democrat and everything to win this thing. So,
absolutely. That's it. Appreciate your call, Andy. And I think got less than a minute here, so I got to dive into this a little deeper on maybe a later show. But Tim Michaels ran for governor. He got into the race late because he saw the opening. He saw the hollowing out of the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin. Gerrymandering districts to ensure that you have almost a near supermajority in the legislature does not create a backbench of candidates that allows that party to be able to run effective statewide campaigns. You'll never see Robin Voss or Devin LeMahieu run for a statewide office because they can't win. And Tim Michaels thought that I see the opening. I'm going to do it. We'll get more into that in a future show. This has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian, but still with the Luke and Evan. We'll be back tomorrow.